Joining me now is Andy Griskowiak. He is the superintendent of Ice Law Schools. And, boy, I tell you what, it's been kind of a roller coaster with dealing with the Oregon Department of Education and the Oregon Health Authority. Is that accurate, or is it just kind of the way things are?
Well, I think it's kind of the way things are. Well, again, good morning, George. Sorry. It's kind of the way things are right now. In our weekly superintendent meetings, we've been asking for, what are the clear-cut markers for reopening or preparing to transition back out to distance learning? And we, we get the it's being developed. And so what we got at the end of July was real clear set standards, but the standards are at such a level that it really kind of tails you into doing comprehensive distance learning until all those metrics are met.
So the idea of every 2 days a week, every other day, is kind of out the window?
Well, for grades 4 through 12, until the state metrics and the county metrics meet a level they are in comprehensive distance learning, we're looking at some logistics about, because there's some exceptions for K-3 students to do some small group on-site instruction. We don't know how feasible that is. And again, there's going to be some more clarification coming from the state on what those restrictions are. The newest metric data came out yesterday, and unfortunately, the county and the state both trended in the wrong direction. Positivity testing rates went up, and caseloads rate went up as well.
So what do we mean by metrics? Is that the standard by which we sort of measure?
Right.
How's it going on?
So again, there are two standards at every county level, and it's your testing positivity rate. And if, less 5% or less, you do not have general community spread. Again, right now our numbers are at 2, but the problem is that the other metric is caseload per 100,000 people. Last week we were at about 14 people per 100,000. We just jumped to about 19 in the last measurement. So there is a spread within the community. It's just not confirmed by an ample number of tests. State positivity testing just went from about 5.1% to 5.8%. So they're finding more people that have had it as they've expanded testing.
So when we look at what's happening for Cayuse Law School, it's also what's happening for Lane County, right?
Correct.
We don't get our own little set of metrics for this area here.
No. And again, with the amount of travel back and forth between, the metro area around I-5 and to the coast, that's a perfect transmission vector for people going back and forth. That kind of sporadic transmission that we're seeing around the county, which is about 35%. Sporadic being they can't track the case that someone has to another known case, where if it were a work site spread or a family spread situation, this means people are catching it in the general community.
Now, we're currently at, I think, as of today, we're at 18 for the Florence area, or the 97439 zip code. Of course, that's just the ones we know about. I mean, I'm sure there may be more within the community there. But what does it entail with what you have been working on over the past few months? I mean, knowing the possibility of more COVID-19 out there, were you just having to kind of set something up in case? Is that kind of what you've been working on?
Right. And again, what we had set up to begin with was hybrid learning. Every kid is participating in some form of distance learning 2 days a week, and then on campus 2 days a week. And really, the difference is where you're sitting. 2 days a week, you're sitting at home watching a lesson going on in class. And then the next 2 days, you're in class, and the kids that were watching it on Monday, Tuesday are now home watching it Thursday, Friday. That was the basic hybrid plan for most districts. Some were doing it every other day. Some were trying to do it in week blocks. They were going to do an A week and a B week. We were trying to do 2 A days and then 2 B days to make sure that we saw every kid every week and had a virtual lag week. With what we got with the defined metrics about how you can reopen, hybrid plans are off the board. We knew that full on-site learning was going to be off the board just because of space and staffing considerations. We just don't physically have enough staff and enough people to do that. We could take over every single space that's available for some sort of group instruction piece and not have enough people to do it. You double the amount of space by cutting the kids in half, cutting the class size in half. We're not cutting any kids
in half.
Cutting the class size in half. And so you double your need for rooms, which means you double your need for adults for instruction and supervision.
But yeah, with the contingency plan of doing the every other day and 2 days in and then 2 days out, I mean, that was all considering best practices for handling the COVID-19
right.
pandemic. I mean, small class size,
correct.
Distance between students and everything. And yet we still can't do that.
We still can't do that because now they're saying to be able to do that, you have to meet these case counts in your county and your positivity rates in your county, and the state positivity rate has to be under 5. So 4 through 12 was automatically done because it didn't matter what county you're in, the state metric was over 5, and over the last 2 weeks, it's increased. Mm-hmm. Now, they had this instructional exception for K-3 based on the idea that younger children do not get the infection at the same rate and do not spread it at the same rate. There's some debate about that, and there's new studies coming out showing that kids are as equal in spread. And so, again, until you don't have general spread in your community, as little contact as people can have with each other is probably the best idea.
I was going to say, with only 5 months, a little over 5 months under the belt of this virus, how could there be enough studies to show? I mean, it's all now. It's like, well, we get this one study out, but then another study could right. contradict it, you know, a week later.
Well, and again, some of it's not even contradictory. It's more detailed. It gets into more nuance. And so you get to this piece where it is kids may or may not get it at the rate, but they don't spread it. And then you say, no, they do spread it, and they do get it, and then their transmission vectors are maybe a little bit different from adults. But all of this doesn't consider the fact that you do have kids in the class that could have, you know, health concerns of their own where they probably shouldn't be around other people. And then you have, again, all of the adults. And so a child may come down with the infection and, again, data says kids, they don't go through as many symptoms. It's not as, physically,
debilitating.
Debilitating. Yeah. Thank you for the word. Yeah. And, but what happens when they take that and they pass that to a parent or a child or a grandchild
or
a teacher
in class.
Or an aide, right? And that's the bigger issue, I think, is that, looking at just spot numbers, there was a overnight camp in Georgia that primarily teenagers and younger kids, about 2/3 tested positive. And, there was a good 2/3 of those people that had no symptoms either. And so that's a grand opportunity for a virus to spread when those kids got sent home. So had they not done the testing, they wouldn't have known that. And again, more testing doesn't mean more numbers. It means more knowledge about how far it is spread.
So last week, Dr. Dean Seidlinger with the Oregon Health Authority had said that they wanted to put K-3 back in the schools. But you're saying now that for Siyu's Law, what is the issue or the opportunity in trying to do that here?
So the primary issue is going to be having families that have a student in the elementary and then in the middle or the high school. With the middle or the high school students being at home, how do you rotate an elementary student in for 1 or 2 days a week for 2 to 3 hours at a time? It creates a lot of havoc with family schedules. The opportunity that we have, again, because we're smaller, we can be a little more nimble in starting out in more of a distance learning platform, and we can move back to a hybrid model and on-site education faster. Again, right now, the numbers aren't trending well. So if we made a mark today in 3 weeks or 4 weeks when we get around to opening school, and the markers keep increasing the way they are, we would be in regular distance learning anyways. And I've laid out a schedule for the school board in the last meeting where we look at markers mid-October for a November entry, and then looking at the markers up coming into November, for a December entry, and then looking at numbers in December for a January entry, and trying to do this in 4 or 5 week blocks. So that way people have time to prepare and be ready for that logistical shift to go from distance learning to some sort of hybrid on-site model.
And if over the next couple of weeks, the metrics show a positive change, does that mean you could move up the date, or is it pretty much we're going to wait till November?
Well, I think we're going to be into October, looking November, because it takes 3 negative trending weeks under the marker to be correct. And there's a short lag. It's only about 3 days, but the issue becomes, if you look at the first week of that we got reporting and then the reporting we got this week, reports come in to the health authority for documentation, then they are backdated to the date of the test or the known virus. And so what was reported to us, to the superintendents, back on the 22nd, those numbers actually increased with this updated report from yesterday. So there were other known cases and pieces out there that hadn't been recorded, including the metric. So as I look through it, nobody's metric count went down. They will only go up as, in essence, data processing catches up with reporting.
It's sort of the same thing, I guess, when I look at the numbers daily, like if they report a new death, that death may actually have been a week or so ago.
Correct.
As far as the time of death, but it's just now showing up in the numbers today. So that's kind of what you're talking about.
Right, yeah. And again, so tracking the Lane County public health numbers for infections, last between the 29th, 30th, and 31st of July, there was 39 people in the county that were new diagnoses. That group alone is 39 out of the roughly 380,000 people in the county. So our rate was going to be 10 plus. Now, with what wasn't also included in those, you had three other days that got counted into that metric. And so all of a sudden, we wound up with a number that was, let's say, 19. I got it right here. We went from 14 cases per 10,000 to 18.7.
Yeah, just from the change in the metrics.
Just from the change in the metrics. And again, that increase of going from 14 cases per 10,000 to 18.7 per 10,000 shows that there's a building community spread within the county.
What are you hearing, if anything, from parents about the difficulties or the challenges that have come of having students home in that? Are you getting any response?
We're getting some response. We've had a couple of general forum meetings. We've been fielding emails through the general email account at the district. The number one concern is childcare, school as childcare so people can work. Part of the issue is that with more restrictions coming along, there's less work to be done. And we're kind of almost working backwards with the case rate. And that's the number one concern, is childcare in the community. But that was a concern beforehand in the community. This has just really kind of hammered that home.
How has the lunch program, the meal program, been going?
The meal program's been fine. We've had a couple of stops on the routes that were a little thin in numbers, and we've kind of moved those to the end of the rotation. And if people need service at those locations, they know the number to call. And that's our transportation office, and we'll run an extra meal out to that site. So we've got 5 buses going out, each making 4 or 5 different stops. And then we're continuing Thursday with our partnership dinner meals with Food Share. We're delivering 86 dinners to about 65 homes in the community.
Have you gotten any kind of response as to how the distance learning went for the end of last year? I know that a lot of the graduating students, you know, went on, they graduated. But what about the students in, you know, earlier years? How did that kind of pan out? Did everybody finish, or was there some stuff left undone from students?
No, most students were able to finish what was provided and complete for a passing grade. There were some students that, because of family situations, will be able to continue and finish that this fall. And there were some students that, as soon as school closed, you know, they and their family went to family outside of the county, and they are just kind of locked into place for where they are. They could come back and finish if they wanted. We don't know if they're going to return to school, if they're going to come back to Florence.
So what kind of contingency did you make for them? Are you allowing them extended time to finish some of last year's stuff? Or
yes.
Normally, you know, the end of the year means, hey, if you fail, then you're done. You have to redo it.
So. Right. No, anything that was left open or incomplete at the end of last spring, students have through June 15th of 2021. They have through the next academic year to complete any of those pieces for credit.
And they just do that through their teacher online?
Yes.
Is that how that works?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to talk with Chris Johnson later about sports, so we won't have to get into that right now.
Okay.
I know he'll be chomping at the bit for that. But anything else we need to know about this? Like I said, it's probably going to be end of October, November before there's a possibility of getting back in.
Correct. School. Yes. Again, just looking at where the numbers go, we've got our plans due to ODE August 15th. School board will be approving and reviewing plans on August 12th. And again, had all the numbers panned out, we would have gotten 3 weeks of clean data, you know, August 16th. Well, that just got bumped to August 23rd with last week's negative trend. And so we're going to err on the side of caution for students and staff in the general community. And it's going to be a distance learning model to get going. And if we have the ability to do some small group orientation, basically more about how to do distance learning with younger kids, we'll do that.
Do you know more about availability for the students in the outlying areas as far as internet and stuff like that? Has anything changed or gotten better or worse?
Nothing has really changed. There's going to be money available to districts for family assistance for internet service at home. You know, we're working and trying to find a couple of like satellite facilities where people could come and have access to computer terminal and internet during the day. But right now, I think the optimal piece is going to be getting a policy piece together for the board to pass to look at, in essence, an internet subsidy, much like we do free or reduced lunch. Because, again, we'll have some federal funds to offset that. And it would be, in essence, cost neutral because it's money coming from the Fed specifically for internet service at home.
Has the school looked at the way that homeschooling groups do in order to kind of work in the plan for distance learning? Or is this a total new model that the schools are doing?
Well, I would say we're probably closer now to doing distance learning in a homeschool model than before. The difference is we're going to have certified teachers, you know, teaching, but it's going to be in a remote fashion. But more of that, you know, kind of trying to get to smaller sized individual grouping models. And a lot of the electronic curriculum supplements that we'll be using are already used by homeschool groups. And so there's a lot of people that are, you know, they're considering going to, you know, a regular online charter school. Well, we can offer the same program that they're offering because we've purchased that and would have ability to do Edgenuity or Seesaw or the other components that, you know, the charter districts use.
And that's already paid for in the taxes, as opposed to, I think, charter schools you would have to...
No, or charter schools or public schools, you could...
Oh, okay, charter schools or public schools, but right. Not homeschooling is a little bit different, yeah.
Yeah, homeschooling is a bit different, yeah.
Yeah, so folks can already get that within right. their tax right. dollars that they're
already
spending.
Yeah, it's already here. Again, if you want an asynchronous, you know, learning platform that's, you know, again, a kind of a, you know, can contain digital system, you know, at enrollment, you can say, I want my kid in that model, and we'll set them up, in essence, for K through... or 6 through 12 with Edgenuity, and then we've got two different platforms for elementary.
All right. Well, I guess we've probably exhausted almost everything, unless there's something else you can think of, but I don't know anything else to ask other than, you know, I guess we just wait and see if the metrics get better when we can get back to school.
Well, again, I don't think it's necessarily a wait and see. If people in the general community want kids to get back to school faster, it's about controlling the metrics. And people have a definite impact on that with, again, physical distancing, wearing a mask, and sanitation. Those are all things we as individual citizens control. And the more of that we do, the faster we return to school and the faster we return to normal.
There you go. That's the way to do it then.
All right.
Follow the best standards and practices for this thing.
Absolutely.
Andy Griskowiak, thank you so much for stopping in today.
I appreciate it, George. Thank you.
And coming up next on the August edition of Our Town, Charles Brown, the new director of the Oregon Coast Humane Society, talking dog safety.